Well, hallelujah. It's good to be here, as I already said. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. He's a good God, isn't he? Amen. He's a good God. I'd recommend him to anybody. Amen. And good to see y'all this morning. A lot of familiar faces. And good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Do appreciate what God is doing. God's still at work, isn't he? Amen. We've been in revival this week over at Ashboro, Brother Gunter. A lot of people act like God ain't got nothing to say today. God's got a lot to say. Amen. It's not that God isn't saying anything. The problem is sometimes we just not listening. We're just not listening. I'm going to read a very, very familiar little text this morning for the Lord to help us here just a little while. Found in the book of James, the 4th chapter. And, amen. James chapter 4, verse 13. He said, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Amen. Amen. Would you lift your hand this morning, just ask the Lord to help us. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for that we've already heard. Oh, God, and ask you just now. Oh, God, would you just grant us, God, that unction from heaven, that anointing, God, of the Holy Ghost, God, to be able to stand here this morning and speak. Oh, God, and I pray, God, you touch our hearts with your word. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. God bless you this morning. Amen. I appreciate the message Brother Luke Blue this morning. So, Lord, help us just this morning, just a little while. This may be kind of an odd title, but it's what I felt like. I just want to preach just a few minutes on add the footnote. Amen. Add the footnote. I like to read. A lot of times during the course of reading, there'll be a footnote, maybe the bottom of the page or something, that kind of gives you more enlightenment on something that the writer was having to say. But we're saved people this morning, and I'm glad I can say I'm saved. Amen. A lot of things, I can't tell you I'm a millionaire. Can't tell you I've got a lot in the world or whatever, but I'm saved. By the grace of God. Amen. And as saved people, we're granted a lot of blessing and a lot of opportunity. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that we don't realize really what we've got. Amen. I really don't. I don't think we really realize what we have obtained when we got saved. Amen. It's more than just the fact that we've got fellowship with a new group of people or whatever. We're saved. Amen. And it's not that we're going to be saved. We're already saved. We're saved right now. Amen. And as John was saying there in his epistle, it's not that when the Lord calls the church, it's not that we're going to be changed as we go through the air, as we meet the Lord. We're changed right now. Now are we the sons of God. There's already been a change in our life. Amen. As Brother Blue talked about this morning, amen. And the Apostle Paul, in furthering that testimony, he said in another place, he said, "Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Amen. I know God done something inside of me. I know He did. Amen. You might not know that, but I do. Amen. I know God. How many could say, "I know I'm saved this morning"? Amen. Yeah, we got room to grow. I know that, but I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. Amen. I remember many years ago, we were going out, I think, to the minister's meeting, and that big Bible bookstore just between the interstate and going into Pigeon Forge. Went in there, and we was looking around, and found a couple books by E.V. Hill, and some of you probably heard Dr. E.V. Hill, old black preacher. And I picked up those couple books, and came home and just what I've read in them, I've enjoyed it, but there was, in the back of one of the books was a CD of him preaching. Now, I, many years ago, picked up cassette tape and of him preaching his wife's funeral. And some of you might have heard that over the years. It's powerful. It really is. But I picked up that cassette, and I've listened to it. I can't tell you how many times we've put that thing on and listened to it. But in that, he's telling about, he was preaching a revival, and he said during the course of that revival, there was a young girl there at the church, and she was telling him one night about her sister. She was very hostile and just frustrated with life. She joined the Black Panthers, and she said, I just pray for her to be saved. So Brother Hill was just telling her, he said, why don't you invite her to come to the service? She said, no, she wouldn't ever do that. He said, we'll pray about it. He said, you invite her. Let's see what happens. Well, he said, sure enough, one night, he said, he looked up, and toward the back of the church, he saw a young lady come in and sit down. And he said, when I saw her come in and sit down, he said, I knew that was that sister. And he said, I preached that night, and at the end of the service, giving his altar call, of course, as any preacher does, don't we like to see sinners come to the house of God? Amen. I really do. I like to preach to save people. But boy, I tell you what, you really want a preacher get real stirred up, you get some lost folks come in. That just does, if he's worth his salt, it does something to him. Amen. But anyhow, he kind of zeroed in on her. And anyhow, at the end of the service, he was back at the back door shaking hands. And this people coming by, and they were telling me, in his way of telling it, he said different ones were telling him how they enjoyed the message, they appreciated him and all that, you know. And he said he was just, you know, like any preacher, they like that. And he just kind of eating that up. And she came by, and she was just kind of an angry type, you know. And he said, I'll talk to you in a few minutes. You know, let me get all this first, and I'll talk to you in a minute. So he said a little bit, he began to talk with her. And she began to ask him, she said, you were talking to me tonight, weren't you? You were pulling. He said, yeah. He said, I was. Didn't deny it. I was pulling for you. And she began to relate to him how angry she was. Matter of fact, she began to berate him because during the course of the message, she hadn't preached what she really wanted him to preach. She was, as a member of the Black Panthers, she was just angry, thought, you know, everybody was against her and everything. And so anyhow, he began to talk to her about her life, and he asked her, was her life a troubled life? And she said, yes, my life is a troubled life. And he told her, he said, well, wouldn't you like to know God? Wouldn't you like to get all that straightened out? She said, well, if there is a God, and I've got to meet that God, she said, yeah, I'd like to have everything straightened out if there is a God and I've got to meet him. He said, well, he said, first of all, he said, there is. And second of all, you will meet him. And he began to talk to her. So she began to ask him. She asked him a question. She said, well, now, she said, if I were to pray, if I were to get right with God, she said, what do you have when you get saved? What do you have when you get right with God? And, of course, he went on with the message. But two things that he talked about in that, he said, first of all, you have peace with God. This world's dying for some peace in their heart. He said, you have peace with God. And then the second thing he said you have the peace of God. Amen. And I'm glad this morning we've got peace with God, but we got the peace of God in a troubled world. Amen. But there's a lot. I'm telling you, we're blessed to be saved. The psalmist said, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. We could try to tell you how good it is, but we'll never be able to tell it all. We can't explain it. We don't have the vocabulary in fullness to tell you how good it is to be saved. How many know that this morning? People tried to tell me how good it was, amen, how great it'd be to be saved. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't comprehend it. But I'm telling you, since I've got saved, I understand better what they're saying. Amen. It's good to be saved. We're blessed. We've got so much, amen, that God has done for us. And the only way you can know about it, you got to experience it. Nobody can tell you about it. You can't read about it. Amen. You've just got to experience it, to know what it's about. Before I got saved, I stood in constant fear. Matter of fact, the devil had just lied to me, told me that I'd never see 30 years old. Lord Terry's a little while longer, a few more years, I'll have that doubled. Amen. But blessed of God. Amen. But I was afraid before I got saved, I was afraid that I would die and go to hell. I'd go to bed at night. I'd lay there in the bed, just trying not to go to sleep because I was afraid if I'd go to sleep, I'd never wake up and I'd die and go to hell. I was afraid to get on the road and ride down the road. I was afraid that if I did, I'd get in a wreck somewhere and die and go to hell. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God that God, I'm saved and God gave me some peace. Amen. Amen. But when you think about all that you've got and all the blessings and all the benefits, matter of fact, the psalmist even mentioned the benefits. Amen. We got, there's benefits to being saved. And we're not talking about just heaven. There's benefits right in this life right here of being saved. Amen. And just knowing you don't have to go around being afraid is one of those. Amen. Have some peace in your life. But one of the greatest and most wonderful aspects of being saved is the privilege of prayer. Amen. Amen. It's a privilege to pray. And I'll be honest with you, we're living in a time where it seems like with a lot of folks, that's a secondary part of their Christian life. But prayer, amen, that's how we got saved. If we stay saved, that's how we're going to stay saved. If we keep the victory, the pastor's already told us, we got to pray. But prayer is a privilege that God has given to us. Amen. It is a privilege to pray. Jesus, when Jesus began teaching about prayer, and he talked about it, amen, he didn't say, if you pray. He didn't say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. Prayer is not an option to those that are serving God. As a matter of fact, if you don't pray, you're not going to be serving God long. You're not going to have no victory in your life. You're going to have trouble, struggle all your life. As a matter of fact, amen. I love holding the standards up, but that becomes a struggle to you without prayer. Amen. Going to church becomes a struggle without prayer. Amen. Joining in the singing, the songs, rejoicing, worship, all that's a struggle without prayer. But prayer is a blessing that we have from God. Amen. When you pray. Amen. And there's the promise that if we pray and when we pray, we could even pray and ask what we would in His name, and He'd give it to us. Amen. God would help us when we pray. Amen. When Christ died, the veil of that temple was rent in two, and God granted access to us, not just the priest, but to all of us believers, amen, to come directly to Him in prayer. I appreciate great men of God, and I appreciate these brethren that are here, but I'm glad I don't have to ask them to pray for me. I'm glad I have the privilege, amen, to go to God for myself. I can pray, amen, for myself. You pray for me. I need you to pray for me. But I want to pray for myself, thank God. Amen, we have that privilege. But when we have that privilege of prayer, amen, prayer is a privilege. It's a blessing in life. But I'm telling you, when you enter in behind that veil and you begin to go to God in prayer, amen. I'm telling you, that's not a place to be careless. That is a place that you want to be very sober and you want to be very careful. And I don't know about you, but I've said this before, especially at the church, at home. I've been praying before, and maybe you've done the same thing. I've been praying before, and as I've been praying, I've prayed, and maybe there was a situation that I was praying about, and I begin to tell God, you know, if you'll do this and this and this. How many has ever done that? You just kind of instruct God as to what, amen. I realize that ain't the way to pray. God don't want us to pray like that. And another thing I've realized in prayer sometimes, I just get to praying, and it's so easy to be distracted. And even your mind begin to wonder, if you don't be careful, you'll just be praying, and in a few minutes you'll say something kind of abstract, and you'll stop and say, what am I talking about? And you'll kind of pull yourself back, try to get back in that place of prayer. But I've learned, amen, that when we pray, amen, one of the sobering things about prayer is the fact that God hears us. God hears us when we go to prayer. I mean, we're not just uttering words, amen. God is listening when we pray, amen. And that's why the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us we ought to be careful what we utter before God. Amen. I'm telling you, when you get in prayer, when you earnestly get in prayer, and you get in that spirit of prayer, it's easy to make promises to God. It's easy to make vows to God. And then once the prayer's over and the tears are dried up, amen, I'm telling you, God expects you to do what you said. Amen. But God is hearing us when we pray. Amen. He listens to what we're talking about. And another sobering part of prayer is the fact that when we pray, not only does God hear us when we pray, but God oftentimes, amen, grants us our petition. You pray about something. God, give me this. And Lord, do this for me. And Lord, do that for me. And God sometimes will do exactly what you're asking for. I'm preaching this morning on a footnote. Stay with me just a minute. Just add a footnote here. Amen. So as you pray many times, people pray about situations and circumstances. And as they're praying, amen, we are asking God to do things and want God to do things. And there's times in life we feel like we really know what would be best and how God, we want God to work it out, but we don't. Amen. We're here in this house this morning and we have no idea what's going to happen throughout the remainder of this day. If the Lord tarries tomorrow, next week, next month, amen, life lies before us. If the Lord tarries, a future, amen, and we don't know what's coming our way. We don't know, amen, about tomorrow. We don't know, amen, about next year. We don't know about 10 years from now. But sometimes we pray about things and we just end our prayer, amen, and we just end our prayer with just simply, amen, and we get up and leave it and we walk away and we just leave it there. But here in this text, James is really, amen, telling us before you finish praying, before you get off your knees, before you close it out, before you say amen, be careful and always add this little footnote to your prayer. Always include the words, thy will be done. So I'm going to tell you something. Amen. I'm glad today that God has not done everything I've asked Him for. We'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad there's been times that God, amen, didn't just say, all right, I'll do it. Amen. Just, I'm glad God didn't. Amen. I'm glad there's been times that God has said yes. I'm glad there's been times God has said no. But I'm telling you, I'm glad that God in our prayers, amen, He wants us to finish our prayers, end our praying, end our petitions, end our seeking for help with simply just saying, Lord, Your will be done. Lord, Your will be done. Because I'm telling you this morning, amen, God don't want anything but good to His people. Amen. He said, my thoughts toward you are good. Amen. God desires to help His people. God desires to bless His people. But we shut that off sometimes. We just say, amen. That's it. Just end the prayer. Amen. But go ahead and add that footnote. Add that, Lord, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Amen. One of the most earnest prayers that you'll read about in all the Scripture is the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had come into Jerusalem earlier that week to praise the people. They were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. And by week's end, they were ready to crucify Him. Some of the same crowd, no doubt, was part of the mob that was saying, crucify Him, crucify Him. It was the most trying hour of His life on earth. He took His band of disciples that night, went to that upper room, and there as they were going through that Last Supper, and He was talking with them, had that foot washing service, and finally, Judas, you know the story, amen, he said, one of you is going to betray me, and they all began to inquire, who is it I, is it I? And he said, it's him that I give the sop to, and he did. Judas took it, and he just said, what you do, do quickly. And Judas just slipped out, and it was night. Amen. He slipped out, and it was night. It's always going to be dark when you walk away from God. But here He is, Jesus. He takes the remainder of those disciples, and He goes to that garden he was very well acquainted with. And He goes into that garden, and he tells them, He said, watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Then He goes by a stone cast alone, and He kneels down and begins to pray. Now, I've prayed, there have been times, and I've said so many times through the years, there have been times you pray, and as you pray, you know, you're getting all the words just right, and, you know, come on now, you're sounding real good. But when you get real serious and desperate, you'll forget that nonsense. It don't matter if it rhymes or not, huh? It don't matter if it rhymes or not. It don't matter if it's perfect English or not. Amen. You'll just cry out to God. Well, here Jesus is, and he's in earnest praying. And as he's praying, the Bible even tells us his sweat. He prayed until it, that very few people pray till they sweat, but he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. An earnest, amen, agony. The Bible even tells he was in an agony. In a struggle, amen, in his prayer. He realized, amen, that just hours ahead of him is a Roman cross. Jesus, living on this earth, no doubt he had passed by at times, amen, in his travels, and no doubt he had seen men hanging on that cross. To this day, men have it'd be hard for man to devise a more terrible and more agonizing death than the death of the cross. And Jesus realized, amen, from this place right here, in a matter of hours, I'll be on the cross. I'll be hanging between heaven and earth. Amen. Terrible death. Amen. And he began to pray. And he said, Father, if it be possible, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me. But I'm glad, Brother Frankie didn't quit praying right there. I'm glad, Brother Matt, he didn't just get up right there and say, Amen, and that's it. Amen. He had at his disposal angels that were ready at just a moment's notice, amen, to rescue him, amen, to take care of it. He could have just said, No, I've called it off. I've called it off. I'm not doing it. And he could have just, from that garden, just ascended back into heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and just said, of me and you, they ain't worth it. They're not worth me doing what we were talking about doing. But as he continued to pray there, the blood, amen, was pouring down, amen, he prayed, he said, nevertheless, not my will. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, not what I'd like to see, not what I'd like, not how I'd like to get to work out, but Lord Jesus, Lord God, thy will be done. You plan it out, you work it out, whatever you want to do. Amen, that's the footnote. Amen, thy will be done. Amen, and he prayed that prayer. He went back and prayed it again. Amen, and finally got up and he said, all right. Amen, I'm telling you, there was something about, amen, praying that prayer and ending that prayer in that way, there was something that enabled him to get up and stand there and face the cross and realize, I can do it. Amen. I can make it. Amen. I can do what God wants me to do because I'm not doing it in myself. I'm doing that He wants me to do. There's a lot of difference in you trying to satisfy yourself and do what you want to do, try to get a name for yourself. Amen. There's a lot of difference in that than you being willing to just humble yourself before God and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. That's right. I believe most of us tonight or today have probably prayed that prayer somewhere in our life. As we got saved and began seeking God, and just earnestly. And Brother Blue, I don't know part of that other part of that, some of those prayers you prayed in that prayer room beyond the get me out of this cult. Some of it, no doubt, was something like this. God, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. Amen. You're saying simply, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. You have, listen, in this house this morning, some of you young people, you have no idea what God has planned for your life. And if you don't add this footnote, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And your life could be a life of misery, agony. Amen. But if you add this footnote when you pray, every time you pray, every situation you pray about, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Not my will, but Lord, thy will be done. Some of us adults in this house this morning, we've struggled with some things in life. And we wouldn't have had to do that if we'd ended our prayers by saying, Lord, not my will, but thy. We just went on and done it. Huh? We just went on and done it thinking it'll be in the will of God. Amen. Ooh. And we just stopped and said, Lord, let me add this footnote here before I get up, before I end this prayer. Let me add this. Not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. I tell you, we'd be a happier people this Thursday morning. We'd be a happier people. It'd be easier for us to raise a hand, wave to heaven. It'd be easier to shout amen if we'd have added that footnote during times of our life instead of just making a move. Amen. Amen. How do you know that? I know it. Huh? I promise you, I know it. I've made moves before, and I thought, man, this is going to work out. This is going to be fine. And after all said and done, I wish I'd have slowed down and said, Lord, not my will be done. And listen, just because it happens don't mean it's God's will. Amen. Just because you can go ahead, amen, and do whatever it is, that don't mean it's God's will. I'm telling you, I've learned, and I'm still learning. Amen. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. I tell you, to help our life, if we'll just stop and add that footnote, amen, before we get through praying. Would you stand with me this morning?